Well, let's just take our Bibles, and if you have a Bible, open with me to Exodus chapter 8. If you're joining us on Facebook or on Zoom, my name is Pastor Valerian, and this is Southside Bible Fellowship Worship Service. You're welcome to be with us. Please turn to Exodus chapter 8. We're going to read the first 15 verses of the Bible. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1 to 15. Well, I'll begin with the last verse of chapter 7, which is verse 25. It should be verse 1, actually. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will come upon you and your people and all your officials.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord.' Moses said to Pharaoh, 'I leave it to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile.' 'Tomorrow,' Pharaoh said. Moses replied, 'It will be as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile.' After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said." We believe that the Bible is the word of God. We also believe that if you are a child of God, then the Bible is God's word for you. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for giving us another opportunity to gather together despite all the challenges, that we may call upon your name, that we may remind ourselves of the source of our hope, that we may remind ourselves of the source of our forgiveness, and that we may worship you and praise you. We pray that, Father, you may speak to us in your own way. We pray that your Holy Spirit may minister to us, and that, Lord, you may accomplish what you intend to accomplish this morning, and through it all, you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is the second plague that is taking place in Egypt. The first one was the Nile turning into blood. God is using these plagues not only to punish the Egyptians, but he's also using them to invite the Egyptians to him. Remember, our theme says God's revelation is our invitation to be involved in what he is doing. So as God shows himself through these plagues, as he turns the Nile into blood, as he brings frogs in the land of Egypt, God is not only showing that he is powerful, but he is showing the Egyptians, even with the Israelites too, he is inviting them to himself. He is pointing at what he can do because he has one plan in mind, and the plan is to rescue his people. Imagine opening your refrigerator, and the first thing that comes out is a frog. And not just one frog, but many frogs. It's like they've been set free. They're coming out. I can imagine how my wife would respond to that. I can imagine how my daughter would react. She doesn't want to see even the smallest ant in the house. I can't imagine how she would react if she saw a frog popping out from a refrigerator. Imagine you open your dishwasher and the first thing that comes out are frogs. You open your closet, frogs come out. You lie on your pillow and you can hear something just screaming for help because you are pressing on a frog under your pillow. Frogs are everywhere. You cannot walk over them. You can't jump over them. If you try to jump over one, you step on another. They are everywhere in Egypt. And there's a reason God is using frogs. He's using frogs because the Egyptians worshipped frogs. They were considered to be sacred creatures. In fact, there was a frog goddess. Her name was Hecate. H-E-Q-E-T. Hecate. The frog goddess was considered that she was the one who would breathe life to infants. And mothers, pregnant mothers, would turn to her. During their labor pains, so they would turn to her for help, for comfort, so that she can give life to their unborn kids. So when God is bringing frogs to Egypt, when he is releasing them, allowing them to fill every place in Egypt, he is playing with a symbol of Egyptians' worship. God is not only displaying his power, but he is playing with their symbol of worship. And he is also punishing them for their sins. You remember, he turned the Nile into blood. The same Nile that Pharaoh had requested the midwives to drown the infants that would be born. And the first thing the Lord did was turning to blood. He was striking at the point of their strength. And now God is striking at the frog goddess. He's telling them, if you think this is the one who can give you life, let me show you how powerless she is. So God is punishing the Egyptians for their sins, worshipping idols, turning to things that are not able to give them life, but he's also humiliating the frog goddess. Pharaoh, even though he respects frogs, even though he sees them as sacred creatures, even though he has high respect because they are divine to him, he cannot take them anymore. He's tired of them. They are everywhere. They are in his bedroom, for God's sake. He doesn't want them anymore. And therefore, he becomes desperate. The first thing he does is call his magicians. His magicians come and they become part of the problem because what they do is they add more frogs. Instead of dealing with the problem, instead of bringing a solution, the magicians bring up more frogs. And Pharaoh is desperate. So what does he do? He calls back for Moses and Aaron. And for the first time, Pharaoh has a prayer request. For the first time, he recognizes who the Lord is. He confesses. Moses and Aaron comes and Pharaoh says, pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord, intercede for me that the Lord may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And then he lies to Moses and I will let his people go and worship. And Moses says to Pharaoh, I will leave the honor to you to decide when you want the frogs to leave, to be taken away. You have the honor to decide that, Pharaoh. Moses is pushing back at Pharaoh. He's allowing him to truly submit if he means it. And what does Pharaoh say? Pharaoh doesn't say, I want them gone right now. Instead, he says, tomorrow. Why would Pharaoh leave for tomorrow what is disturbing him, what is bothering him today? Why tomorrow? I don't know the exact reason why, but I would think one of the reasons is because he respects the frogs. Because they are divine creatures to him. Maybe he just wants to give them time. Maybe they will live on their own. Or maybe he thinks that even the Lord himself may need more time to deal with the frogs. In his mind, probably thinks, maybe if I give him 24 hours, he will be able to do it because these are so many frogs. Or maybe he just wants to feel that he is still in control. I will decide when they can be taken away. See, this is the same way we respond concerning some of those behaviors in our lives that we should deal with. It is Pharaoh's pride that is being reflected. The same way we behave concerning some behaviors that we know the Lord can take them away. We don't like those kinds of behaviors, those habits that entangle us, those sins that always gets our attention. But we postpone dealing with them. Tomorrow. This is the same way someone struggling with addictions would respond. Do you want us to help you now? Give me some time. No, because we like being in control. It's the same way we behave with unforgiveness. We know that the Lord requires us to forgive. We know that he expects us to take that step of forgiveness, but we will want to postpone it. I will think about it. I need some time. We have a lot of Christians that are walking with pain, pain that they have accumulated for many years because they are not ready to let go. We have Christians who are entertaining bitterness and rage. It's destroying them, but they're not willing to let it go. It is sad. It is sad for Christians to live for tomorrow what God can do today. It is sad when we leave for tomorrow what God can do today. I may not know exactly. Thank you. That's one way we encourage one another, by the way, by you saying amen. Because the mask makes you look angry, in a way. The fact that I cannot see your smile, I have to imagine what's happening behind the mask. So when you say amen, it tells me we are together. I may not know why Pharaoh is postponing his prayer request. But what I know is he just wants to have one more night with the frogs. He wants to have one more night with the frogs. Excuse me. So this is what is happening here. Even when Pharaoh is calling Moses to pray for him, Pharaoh is focusing on frogs. He's focusing on the frogs that have been released by God. Moses, on the other hand, and God, on the other hand, for releasing the frogs, God is not concerned about the frogs. God is not focusing on the frogs. God is focusing on his people. That's why he's doing all this. It's because he's focusing on his people. Pharaoh wants the frogs to go away. God wants his people to go away. You see, God is focusing on his people because he has a plan for them. He has a plan for them. He has a land for them. He has a place that he wants them to go. He has a dream for them, a land flowing with milk and honey. There is a place he wants them to go. That's why he's focused on them. If you're listening to us, wherever you are, and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, it's important for you to know that the reason God is focusing on you, the reason he wants you to be saved, the reason he is inviting you to his family, the reason God allowed his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross is because he has a plan for you. He has a plan for you to be forgiven, and he has a plan for you to have a bright future here on earth and with him after your life here on earth. God is not focusing on us because of anything good that we have done. He doesn't focus on us because of anything that he can get from us. He focuses on us because of the good plans that he has for us. And this is the message that I have for you. God is interested in his people because he has a plan for them. God is interested in his people because he has a plan for them. The pregnant mothers who would turn to the frog goddess for their comfort, They know that the frog goddess, according to them, is the only one who can bring the comfort they're looking for, because she is the only one who breathes life to infants. But women who believe in Jesus, women who believe in Jesus know that only the true God can provide the healing and the comfort and the encouragement that we all need. Mothers who believe in Jesus will turn to the true God for their comfort. Parents who may have lost children before, during, or after childbirth, They may have been tempted to be angry at God. They may have been tempted to turn away from God. They may have been tempted to turn away from their faith. But if they are truly believers, then they know that the God we believe in, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Him we find mercy and comfort and encouragement and hope for tomorrow. God is interested in us because He has a plan for us. I have a sister, the one that follows me. She lost two sons. One during birth, and the other one shortly after birth. A very painful experience. The kind of pain that only a mother can explain. And I remember her asking me questions, asking me, what is God doing? Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? And I didn't know what the Lord was doing in her life. I did not have answers. There is nothing that I could say. I didn't have the answers. I didn't even know, really. I could tell that she was going through pain and suffering. But I had nothing to say. Today, if you ask her, she still remembers those two sons. She still remembers the pain that she experienced. Sometimes she would shed tears. But she also will tell you that God is my comforter. God is my encouragement. God is sustaining me. God has given me strength. And the Lord gave her another son, who is doing well today. We may find ourselves in our life with Christ facing various kinds of difficulties, sufferings that will make us ask questions, questions that no one can answer them. But if we are still in the faith, we will still find our hope and our encouragement in this God that we believe in. I must admit to you that there are many times in my life that I don't really understand what God is doing. There are times in my life that I struggle to accept God's will. There are times in my life that I find myself asking questions. Why is God doing this? What is it that God is trying to show me here? And even though I may not be comfortable with some of the things that God allows in my life, there is one thing that I know. There is one thing that I have come to believe, and that is this God that I believe in, He is interested in me because He has a plan for me. And His plan is for good. His plan is for hope. His plan is to give me peace. He has no plan. He has no intentions to destroy me. His plan is to build me up because He is making me like His Son, Jesus Christ. And every time I remind myself of that truth, I feel and experience a sense of peace, the quietness that reminds me that God is still in control despite what I am going through. I know that the only way we can experience true healing is by placing all the pain and all the suffering on God's hands. I also know that those who turn to other gods cannot experience the healing that we get from the Lord. Those who turn to other things, to idols and any other thing that has nothing to do with God, cannot experience the hope and the peace and the comfort that we receive from our God. Let me share with you some insights here that we get from Pharaoh's response. When he calls on Moses and Aaron to come and pray for him, we realize here that Pharaoh, at this point, he knows God's name. He says, pray to the Lord. So he is beginning to acknowledge this. And he is learning. Now he knows his name. He knows that his name is the Lord. In Exodus chapter 5 verse 2, he responded to Moses and said, who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. That's what he said in Exodus chapter 5 verse 2. And here he's saying, pray to the Lord. So he knows him now. He knows his name. And number two, he knows what God requires. He says, pray and I will let pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me, in verse 8, and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. So he knows what is expected of him. He knows what God is demanding. He knows what God requires. Number three, Pharaoh knows that God listens to the prayers of those who believe in him. He knows that God listens to the prayers of God, of those who believe in God. He knows that. That's why he didn't pray. He had to call Moses and Aaron to pray for him. He knows that he doesn't believe in the Lord. That's why he cannot pray. You see, the only prayer that the Lord listens from someone who does not believe in him is the prayer that is prayed for salvation. And already when you are praying that prayer, it means you are believing that this God is able to save you, is able to forgive you. So it is still a prayer of faith. John chapter 9 verse 31 says this. John chapter 9, verse 31. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. We know that God does not listen to sinners. John chapter 9, verse 31. And if you look at 1 Peter 3:12, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Pharaoh knows that God listens to the prayers of those who believe in him. Number four, Pharaoh knows that Heket and his magicians are useless. Heket and his magicians, Pharaoh's magicians, are useless. That's why he's not turning to them for help. That's why he's not running to them now to help him to get rid of the frogs away. He knows that Heket is powerless. He is acknowledging God's power here. Three lessons that God is teaching us from this event. Three lessons. One, it is possible to want God's help but reject God himself. It is possible to want God's help, but reject God himself. Pharaoh wants God to do what he wants him to do. He wants God to take away the frogs, but he wants nothing to do with God. He's ready to lie for it so that he can get what he wants. It is possible to want God's help and still turn away from God. I have had people that I have prayed for. I remember one gentleman. He was a wealthy guy in Kenya, and I knew him because I had worked for him. And this time he was sick. He was dying. And I remember sitting with him beside his bed, sharing the gospel with him. And I had done this several times, but he was dying, and I'm telling you, there is nothing, you have nothing to lose. Just turn to Christ now. And on his deathbed, he could allow me to pray for his healing. He would ask me to pray for his healing. He would ask me to pray for him, but he would never accept Jesus as his Savior. And he would tell me, he was sick, he was in pain, but he would still tell me, I cannot do that. Until he died. Number two, painful experiences point us to God. If you're a believer, when you experience difficulties in your life, those difficulties are meant to point you to God, not to other things. They are meant to make us focus on God even more. In fact, as believers, the more difficulties we experience, the more we focus on God. We don't turn away from him. We yield even more to him. Painful experiences point us to God. When Stephen was being stoned for preaching Christ, he could have complained, he could have cried out and blamed God for allowing people to stone him. But as he was dying, Stephen opened up his eyes and he said, I can see the heavens open and I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Instead of his suffering making him turn away from God, it actually brought him even closer to God. My friend that I told you about who died in December from cancer, when I visited him, he told me, Valerian, I have two choices, to live for Christ or to die and be with him. As far as he was concerned, and he was in pain. As far as he was concerned, whether he lived or he died, it was all for Christ. As a believer, painful experiences should point you to Christ. The Israelites, when they were enslaved and mistreated by Pharaoh, they began to cry out to God for help. Number three. Divine intervention comes through human intercession. Divine intervention comes through human intercession. And Pharaoh understands that. That's why he calls Moses and Aaron to pray. When God's people pray, God responds. 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." We know that God hears us. There are times in your life you'll be tempted when you pray, you'll be tempted to feel like God is not listening. I have experienced that. You pray and it feels like your prayers are not going beyond the ceiling of your house. It feels dry. It feels lonely. It feels like God doesn't care. It feels like he's gone away for a journey, for a vacation. He's not even listening to what you are saying. There are moments that you'll be tempted when you are sleeping on your pillow and you are shedding tears and you are crying to the Lord and you are tempted to feel like he's not listening to you. But I'm telling you, the Lord's ears are always open to his children. He's always listening. He's never had a hearing problem. And that's an encouragement for us. And when God's people pray, he always responds. Sometimes he responds by saying, "Yes." And sometimes he responds by saying, "Wait." And sometimes he responds by saying, "I have something better." Yes, wait, I have something better. Now, some people will take that to say no. I don't think God says no. He says that everything we ask through Jesus Christ is yes and amen. Yes, wait, and I have something better. Prayer is one of the tools that God has given us to use to interact with him, to strengthen us, and to keep us into fellowship. It's one of the best tools that we have as Christians. There was a time that a guy gave me a lift. And in the car we began to argue about politics. And then in our argument I realized that he was on one side of the political. This was in Kenya, not here. And he was so angry that I could not agree with him. He asked me to get out of his car. I didn't have any money in my pocket, so I couldn't take any public vehicle, you know, service, transportation. So I got out of the car and I went by the side of the road and I just sat there. And I'm asking myself, what can I do here now? I was alone. I don't know anyone. And you know what came to my mind was, you can pray. And that's what I did. I sat down and I prayed. And it's really a miracle. This is how I see it. Because the next public transportation vehicle that came, it was a minibus, it stopped right where I was, and the guy who was driving it is a guy that I had gone to high school with. And he was so glad to see me. "Hey, Valerian, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm waiting for a vehicle." "Well, come come in, let's go. And I got into that vehicle, and we were talking until I got to where I was supposed to be. God just made it happen. See, prayer is something that no one can take from you. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are with. It's something that you can pray when you are paining. It's something that you can do when you are happy. It's something that you can do all the time, anywhere you are. It's one of the most effective tools that God has given us. And therefore, we need to make use of it. But prayer is not just talking to God. It's not just telling him what we want or what we expect him to do. It's relational. Prayer is relational. It flows from the relationship that we have with Christ. We know that he is listening. See, when I'm talking here, I don't feel like I'm just here to talk to you. I know that I'm here to communicate. I can see your responses and I can feel that we are together. There's a relationship going on here. And that's how it should happen with prayer. We should know that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is listening to us. He can hear us. And we should also be listening to him. Prayer is relational. Prayer is useful when we pray in faith. I'll give you Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Without faith, we cannot please God, because anyone who comes before God must first believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. Prayer is useful when it is prayed in faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 6. And finally, prayer is always for God's glory. Whatever we are praying for, whether we are praying for others or whether we are praying for ourselves, it always has to be for God's glory. It is always for God's glory. I'm going to ask you here to join me in this prayer. This is a paraphrase from 1 Kings chapter 8, when Saul was dedicating the temple. There is a prayer that he made, but I have paraphrased it to fit our particular situation. So I want to ask you to pray with me. I want to ask you to say these words after me and do it out of faith, knowing that our Lord is listening. And for anyone that is listening to us, either on Facebook or on Zoom, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I'd ask you to use this moment to turn to him and to ask him to save you and forgive you, because he is listening to you as well. Please pray with me. Say it loud after me. Our Heavenly Father, whatever problem, disease, or sin there is among us, we pray through the Holy Spirit in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, that you may hear us and forgive us and heal us. Lord, we are turning to you with our hearts and soul. Forgive us all our sins. Be merciful to us, O Lord, for we are your people. May your eyes be open to our requests. May you hear and answer us as we cry out to you. For your glory, O Lord, not for ours. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may God's people say,